we're on our own. It's just regular people like us. It's moms and dads, and we don't have money behind us or anybody. It's really just us. We sell t-shirts so we can have picnics and stuff. Like, that's really, it's that, like, homemade. But it works.
It's grassroots, and I'm proud of that. Very proud.
Yeah.
This is grassroots.
It is.
So, and we're going to continue to win with the grassroots.
Hi, you're listening to We Are Reopen Bucks. In this series, we sit down with some of the key players in the reopen movement and discuss their experiences navigating the pandemic. Today, I'm joined by John Stonge, lead pastor of Core Creek Community Church in Langhorne. In 2020, John not only gave his congregation the freedom of choice when it comes to masking and returning to in-person worship, but he also gave Reopen Bucks a safe place to host many community events that had gone missing from the world. Welcome, John. Thanks for chatting with me today.
It's great to be with you. Thanks for having me on.
Absolutely. So first question is, what is it like to be a pastor with a whole congregation when the world shuts down for COVID?
It was the strangest thing. And for the longest time, it almost felt like things were not going to normalize anytime soon. Every time you thought things were going to normalize, it just seemed like it was going to take forever. But
another week and
just keep stretching on. And the strength of a local church is obviously the opportunity that we have to get together and to be in person and to be with each other. And so it felt so unnatural. And there's even a portion of scripture that talks about the fact that as believers, we should not forsake getting together because it can become a habit and it's not healthy. And that kept ringing in my mind, because when everything first started up in March of 2020, I thought, all right, none of us knows what's going on. So you have everything shutting down. And so for that first season, the church shut down. And I shouldn't say we shut down, but we kind of transitioned just to being online only, like everything else in society, trying to figure out what's going on. And you think it's just going to be a couple weeks, and it starts stretching on. And when I realized that much of what was going on was political and not medical, my opinion toward things changed pretty drastically. I thought, all right, if this was a medical thing only, I'd understand. But when I saw this political element that was preventing people from doing very normal and natural things that were not unsafe, I thought, all right, I can't play that game anymore. And so at that point, we started making plans to reopen and to be in person and to get together again and provide lots of options.
And what was that process like? Because, in my estimation, the church-going crowd is probably a little bit older than most. This was a common thing that was discussed, is like, how do churches handle it? You have people who are older, they'll sit close together in the pews. Mm-hmm. So it is an environment where, especially at that time, when it's way more on people's minds than it is today, how did you work through, okay, how are we actually going to do this?
Yeah, our church is probably a little different in that category. I'm 45, and most of our church is younger than me, which is pretty rare, I would assume, as far as like what we would expect the demographic to be. But we have a mix of all ages. It just so happens to be that I would say probably 75% of the church is a bit younger than me.
So a lot of families.
Yeah, a lot of families. And so what we decided to do was to provide every option we could think of, and to leave it on the families to decide what was best for them. So there was no pressure to meet back in person if you were uncomfortable doing that, or if you had a medical reason not to do that. And there was no pressure to select any particular option. We just thought, all right, let's go into overdrive here and figure out what can we do to serve the most people. So we had in-person worship just like it was prior to March of 2020. We also had another option where people came and wore masks. We also had another option where people met outside. We also had another option where people met online. So we provided every option that we could think of to serve the most people and let them decide what worked best for them. And I felt like that was the right approach, because I felt at that point we're not skipping anybody. You know, I know what my personal opinions about masks are, and I know what my personal opinions about not meeting in person are, but we didn't let that impact the fact that we chose to make every option available, and we put it on the family. Whatever decision works best for your family, we're going to support you, and we're going to make sure that the church has an option. And our leadership felt like that was a good choice. And the truth is, it ended up being a great choice. And it allowed us to serve not only our congregation, but more people in the community. And I was pretty excited about that.
Yeah. Well, by the time we got in touch, which was probably earlier that fall of 2020. So you're in the group right away. You even had announced, look, we're opening for services, et cetera. Somehow we just never really got plugged in until that fall when it was like, okay, we're looking to do events. And once we had found you, it was like, everything was going to be at Cork Creek because working with you is very easy. It's a great location and everything. But up until that point, you know, when you opened, were you taking flack for this? I mean, it sounds like you were trying to create an environment where everybody could have access to something that would be good for them. But just by virtue of being open at all, like, did you have some people who were trying to give you flack?
So the position we took is pretty hard to argue with because I think it's a very logical and reasonable position. And so I thought, okay, any flack we take, you're going to be giving us flack for offering options to everybody, right? So it's not logical on the surface to give a lot of flack to that, you know, to give a lot of flack to saying you get to decide, right? So that I already knew that, you know, it's not going to be a spot of logic that someone can argue against this. Truthfully, the argument isn't going to go very far. But to get to your question, I did take some flack, not a ton, thankfully, but I did take some. You know, I'd hear from people saying, hey, you know, there are people unhappy with that. And it's like, well, who is, you know, it's like a generic, there are people unhappy with that. And I think, okay, well, that may be the case. But I've been in ministry for 25 years, and there's no decision I've ever made that's made everybody happy. So that's nothing new. And at the same time, I also knew we're not trying to antagonize anyone. We're not trying to upset anyone. We're not trying to thumb our nose at anybody. What we're trying to do is provide as many options as we could possibly offer for people to have an opportunity to worship, you know, whether they do that in person or whether they do that remotely. The option was going to be there, and our goal was to serve the most people. And the other thing is, it wasn't just our worship services that we were trying to utilize to serve people. It was community events. It was also offering food. So for a couple months, especially in the early days when everything was running out, what we did was we took everything we had in this church. And right now we're here in my office at, you know, at the church. And so down in the downstairs, we knew that a lot of things initially weren't going to be meeting in person. And we also knew that it was hard to get paper products. It was hard to get sanitizing products, things like that in the early months. And I thought, all right, while we weren't even meeting in person during that early stretch, we decided to just empty everything out of the church. Instead of keeping it here in the building, we thought, let's just put it out on the porch and just let the people in the community know if there's something we have here that you need, just come and get it for free. And people would just come and grab stuff off the porch. And then that turned into us emptying all the food that we had in the building out and just putting it out on the porch. And we just let the community know, we're giving this all away. If anyone has a need, just come and get it and take whatever you need and share it with whoever needs it or take it for yourself. And then other people in the community started contacting us in the midst of that and saying, well, if we have some things that we could donate that would help alleviate other people's suffering, could we participate in that? And we thought, yeah. And so people in the community that we didn't even know ahead of time would come and bring things off. And every day we'd organize these tables. It started off with one table on the front porch of the church, and then it was two tables. And by the time it was all done, it was four tables of supplies that were just rotating in and out of either cleaning supplies or food. And for several months, we were the main source of food for people, for certain people here in the community. This is where they got their food. They had lost, you know, their jobs weren't meeting and some of that wasn't settled yet. So economically, some people needed that. But then other people were afraid to go into buildings, but were willing to go outside to get some of the things that they needed. And so I thought that was a really neat opportunity for the church to be a good neighbor in the community. And I thought it was the right approach for us to take. You know, we're trying to ultimately, the way the church describes it is to be the hands and feet of Jesus, in the sense that we're trying to be not just talk about him, but actually show people what it looks like to serve others in his name. And so that was an active role that we thought we could take in the midst of it, especially in the early days.
Here's a maybe tough question. I don't mean this to be a tough question, okay, but it might be. All of the churches and different groups in the religious sphere who shut down and didn't go back in any sort of timely manner, to me, that looks like deprivation of a community. Like no better entity that stitches together a community than a church, in my mm-hmm. opinion. And so when you see that all of them abided by the rules, and in some cases just way, way beyond the rules and just stayed shut down and everything, mm-hmm. you're kind of depriving that from people. There weren't enough stories like yours, I think, where you're like, okay, we recognize what's going on. We have to get back in person mm-hmm. to maintain the community element.
Yeah, I was surprised when I noticed that how long certain churches stayed shut down. But we also tried not to be overly critical of it. We just kind of looked at it and said, listen, they've got to do what makes sense in their community, and I hope that they make the right choice. And I also, in my own heart, was hoping they would make brave choices. Because I knew that that what we were doing was not necessarily fitting with the narrative of you know, what I was hearing from a lot of media and political sources. And I thought, I can't run our church, I can't lead our church based on politics, and I certainly can't base it on whatever the media narrative is at any given time. I don't usually trust that, to be honest with you. You know, I always feel like you have to filter that. You have to discern whether or not what you're hearing is true or whether or not it's coming from an agenda. And I felt like a lot of those things, especially during a political season, were coming from an agenda. And I thought, I can't lead our church based on politics, and I can't lead our church based on media narratives. I have to lead it based on conviction. And so I definitely wanted and applauded when I would see other churches step up and say, you know, we're going to be brave and discerning and provide lots of options. I loved when I saw that. I loved when I saw churches go on offense instead of staying on defense in the midst of that. And that was our conviction. We wanted to stay on offense, not spend, you know, a year or 2 years on defense. And I'll tell you something, you know, next month I was invited to go and speak up in the Lehigh Valley to a group of churches. And I was told ahead of time that some of these churches are really on the edge of closing. And I have a sneaky suspicion that many of those churches that are on the edge of closing have spent not just the past 2 years, but probably even a good season prior to that, just on defense, really just trying to kind of protect what they have, but not really going out on offense and trying to serve the community in noticeable ways that really required, you know, faith-stretching bravery. And so I'm hoping that I can inspire some of that even as I speak to this group of churches next month. But I really do see a lot of churches that stayed on defense for too long. What we're seeing is that many of them are actually now shutting their doors for good. Yeah.
So that's another big question I have for you is I'm aware of a lot of people in Reopen Bucks who, when they found this church, they were like, I found home. Like, I mm-hmm. found a good community. Mm-hmm. People who drove really far to come and worship here.
Right.
What was your experience then throughout the summer of 2020 after you got yourself open, and specifically you had an option in there that was for people who just want to go to normal church, like mm-hmm. 2019 church? Did you experience like a lot of people come in here from other churches? You kind of absorbed from some of the surrounding churches. Do you think that happened?
That did happen some. But it was such a mix. It was a very interesting mix. There were people that had not been involved in church for the bulk of their adult life that thought, now I see why it's necessary. Mm. Now I see why a community needs a good local church. And multiple good local churches. You know, this is why communities need these things. And so I did see that. I saw people that wanted to be actively involved in their church, but their church was shut down, so they didn't have an option. And one of the real tricky things that a lot of families faced in the midst of that was when they had young children. And some churches were open, sort of, but we're not offering anything for children. And so if you don't have anything for children, what you've basically told a family with children is, we really don't truly have an option for you yet, or we're not back to offering an option for you yet. And so there were some families that came and found us primarily because we offered something for their children where they couldn't find that in their community like they once were able to. And I always treated that as, you know, maybe we're a temporary solution for some of those families that want to give their children some normalcy, or maybe this is the Lord's will that this transition takes place. Try and be very careful. It's not our desire to ever take people from another church or anything like that. We don't do that. And we try and make a point not to do that. But you know, at that point, I really couldn't blame some families that were looking for something, especially for their kids, where they're saying, it seems like right now we have very few options, and this is the option in our community, and so this is what we'll select. And we were grateful to be able to serve them during a very confusing time, and also pray for the leadership of some of the churches that they had been involved in, because it almost felt like a no-win situation for many church leaders, where they're, you know, whether they make one decision or another, they're going to take flack from somewhere. And so we wanted to be really intentional yeah. about praying for all church leaders, because we were all, anyone in leadership, really of any kind during the past couple of years, has had to make calls that really, you know, put them in the spotlight, maybe in an uncomfortable way.
Well, I love that you bring up leadership, because, like, look, COVID has really put a spotlight on how important leadership is to an organization and entity. You talked about how you guys came to the decision of running the different options you did once you were open, providing that to the community, and the effect that it had on the community, on people, on little us from Reopen Bucks. I mean, everything. That all really stems from the type of leadership that says, okay, I'm going to take initiative and make a decision. I feel like with so many things, I mean, I have an article on the website that's called Lack of Leadership Keeps Schools Closed. Because I feel like people who don't have a natural leading ability, when they're in that position and something like COVID comes along, they just don't know what to do. And I can imagine so many other churches, if they don't have strong leadership at the helm, they can get mired in this, where you're just trying to mitigate and trying to do stuff and you just get stuck. And how do you ever get out of that? Like, the only way out of something like this back to normalcy is leadership, it seems.
Yeah, and I have to compliment Reopen Bucks, because I felt like you guys really stepped in and provided a form of leadership as far as messaging online and allowed people that really had a strong conviction that we should have options and we should be able to live out our convictions in this community. You were a rallying point and a meeting point and a way people could kind of meet others that agreed with that viewpoint. And I watched, you know, I saw it, just some people highly active in the group and really open and vocal about that. And I think the way I actually found the group, I don't remember directly how I found it, but I probably saw someone share something and I realized, oh, there are other people that feel like we should be open and should have options. It's like, well, it's good to know there are other people in the community and that we're not maybe an outlier, that there are others that feel this way. And more and more, I noticed different friendships and people I had the opportunity to meet through Reopen Bucks. I thought, well, I'm really grateful to know that some of these folks are out there, because sometimes you do feel alone when you're making certain leadership decisions, and community is a helpful thing. And I found it very helpful.
There was a time there, and you start to get into fall of 2020, where the reality starts to set in that you're like, okay, am I just living through a communist takeover of Western civilization? Like, what is this? What's happening? Because for most of summer, like you had said at the beginning, you're close to the end, right? It's only ever a couple weeks away from being over. Like, what are we doing here? But then with fall and the election and everything's just still going on, it becomes clear that, look, we're mired in this. So specifically for us, a major piece of this in our relationship with you is with all the stuff that was taken away that fall. I mean, a classic good first example is with Halloween. Places were canceling left and right their various events for Halloween. You were like, hey, we're going to have a trunk or treat out back. I can't remember exactly how we got plugged in there, but I remember Kiri was like, oh, thank God. Like, I found this. They're doing a trunk or treat. We're going all in, Josh. And as so many decisions with Reopen Bucks go, she's like, we're doing this. Support me. You know, I'm going to do what we got to do. So once she was in touch with you, I believe she like rallied a whole bunch of people to do the trunks out of the cars.
Oh, yeah.
And come. And I showed up late that day. But the place, literally, you couldn't park. It was crazy.
That was actually making me nervous, because, in a good way, because the road we're on here is kind of a busy road, and we completely ran out of parking here at the church because there were so many families in the community that were interested in providing a fun event that was normal for their children, and so we ran out of parking, and so we're like, all right, well, there's neighborhoods around here. Let's start parking cars across the street and in the neighborhoods there. And then we kind of ran out of parking there. And then people were parking along 413, which is essentially a highway here. It's it's pretty busy. And I was starting to get nervous. And so we had some people out at the road just trying to, you know, caution other cars and all that. But it was so fun to see the turnout. And it was neat because that day you had a mixture of volunteers from Reopen Bucks, a mixture of volunteers from our church partnering together, some people just meeting each other for the first time that day and saying, we're going to do our best to put something together that will be a bright spot for these children that really miss interacting with other kids. And every fun thing in their life for the past, at that point, 6 months or so had been canceled. And so it's like, let's make it so that there's an option for them and something fun going on. And I remember that day just looking at this and I thought, you know, thank you, Lord, that this sort of thing can happen and that we're able to do this, and seeing a lot of smiling faces on children, a lot of happy parents. And it was the right choice. You know, it was the right thing to do, and it was very much needed. And I'll say this, and that kind of reminds me of something else, and you may have intended to talk about this already, but I'll just jump right to it. I had more counseling over the past 2 years. So I've been a pastor for 25 years. I've had more counseling over the past 2 years than ever. And at one point, it was really starting to fry me, where people would, where I was almost running out of time to offer it. And so I asked somebody, because I was starting to feel pretty exhausted. There's only so much counseling you can supply. And I'm not unfeeling. You know, I'm feeling, right, you know, all the things that people are dealing with.
It's hard, yeah.
And it's also something you can't publicize. You know, somebody, when people come to you for counseling, when they come to the church for counseling, you don't announce that to the world. You do your best to give them, you know, just the opportunity to maintain privacy, right? And so I thought, you know, I don't know how much I can really tell people that this backlog of counseling requests is piling up. But I remember at one point, I reached out to a friend and I asked her. I said, okay, you know, I'm really starting to burn out with some of this. Actually, to be honest with you, I think she reached out to me first before I even directly said that. She said, you're getting tired. I can see it. You're getting tired. And she said, what's going on? What's your schedule look like? What's everything look like right now? And I said, I have more counseling than I've ever had. And she said, all right, let's walk through your week here. Let's go through everything. And she said, let's figure this out. And she said, do you know how much counseling you're doing in a week? In addition to all the other things that you have to do in leading the church, and my wife and I, we have four kids, you know, leading our family. She said, do you know how much of your week is spent just on offering counseling? And I said, I have no idea at this point. And she said, it's 29 hours. So you're doing 29, you're offering 29 hours of your week. So figure the standard work week is 40 hours, right? And I'm offering, and 29 of those are spent in counseling. But the truth is, that meant I still had to do all the other things, and we were providing all the other options. So it wasn't just one in-person worship service on Sunday. It was two worship services with different flavors to them, plus what we were doing online, plus the things that we're meeting outside, plus the extra things we were doing online midweek, and, you know, all the different things, plus all that counseling. And I was starting to get really, really tired, and I could see from the inside what people in the community were really dealing with, where people that were living isolated from others and just watching what the news said, I felt like they had no idea what was actually going on in the hearts and lives of people in certain segments of the community. And I thought, I'm seeing this up close. This isn't theoretical for me. This is something I'm seeing up close. I'm interacting with people face to face and watching what's happening to their families. I'm watching the suicide attempts that their children are starting to take. I'm watching all these different things that are taking place. And I thought, the church has to do something about this. We can't be on the sidelines. So we have to be active. And I thought, if I receive criticism for this, if I receive criticism for serving people in person, preaching messages in person, providing events in person, I'm 100% willing to take that critique, because I feel like I actually see a side of this that others seem to be missing, at least to a degree. And I was so happy to see families doing something that day, getting back to the trunk or treat, and their children smiling, and they're outside enjoying just fresh air together, and this event where people are surrounded by community. When you realize we are not designed by God to operate alone, that is not how God has designed humanity to operate. We are not designed to operate in solitude. And when you do that for too long, you basically drive people crazy. And when I started feeling like there were agendas that people were, you know, just involved in that seemed like they had motivations that weren't healthy for keeping people doing that sort of thing, and I was seeing on the inside how that was actually impacting day-to-day lives, I thought, you know, this is an opportunity for us to go on offense and do something that hopefully will be genuinely helpful for the mental health and the spiritual health of families in the community.
It was. I mean, you mentioned seeing the families and knowing that that's mm-hmm. making an impact. We're one of them. I can tell you mm-hmm. for sure, like our kids, we tell everybody the only reason we got involved and started to pay attention at all was that our daughter, who was three at the time, loved the Perkasie Library and the story mm-hmm. times. That was like our thing. That was our main thing. We would always do that. And that obviously went away. Everything else went away. By the time you got to fall, like I mentioned before, I feel like that was the worst of it, because by then it was setting in that this is like the long haul. This is going to be bad. We have all this division in the community. There was the election and all the nastiness that came with that. Just things are really bad and people are feeling it. By the time you get like 2021 and into spring, vaccines are rolling out. There's a more positive air in the world. And, mm-hmm. you know, we'd go through ebbs and flows since then. It's certainly not been perfect, but it feels to me like fall of 2020 was like the worst. And that's when you were there. Not only the trunk or treat, but I mean, I'll never forget us doing that Santa event here, having Santa Claus.
That was fun.
No plexiglass, no craziness, just Santa Claus and all the stuff we did downstairs with the Christmas events. Like hundreds of kids show up to take advantage of this and see it. Had you ever done anything like that? I'm curious. Like those types of events where you have a Santa, or we had done the Thanksgiving thing before that as well?
We have done things like that, but it felt different as we were doing these things this time. It was totally different. It wasn't, a lot of times you do those things and it's an event for your church, and then some people in the church might invite, you know, some others to come and be a part of it. This was straight up, you know, community involved right from the start. You had Reopen Bucks and members of the group saying, hey, we want to volunteer, we want to help. There were a lot of people from the outside of, you know, our local church saying, we want to help this church do this. We want to be part of this. And some of the ideas, so the trunk or treat, that was something I remember when your wife reached out to me and she said, are you guys doing something like that? And I said, yeah, we'd like to do something like that this year. And immediately she said, you know, let's partner together and do this. And I thought, even better. But then you guys followed that up the next month. It was like month after month we had activities. Yeah. And you guys suggested, why don't we have a dinner for families at Thanksgiving time? Their families aren't meeting, but people want to get together and have a meal together. And you guys suggested, why don't we have that? Would the church be willing to host that? And I thought, this is wonderful. This is the type of thing we love doing, partnering with people outside the four walls of the church to serve the community. And I thought, yeah, absolutely. And then you guys suggested the Pictures with Santa event as well. And so those were ideas that you guys brought to the table, and that we had the chance, I felt, in many respects, to partner with you. And so I thought, you know, what a wonderful opportunity. It gave us a great opportunity to connect with families in the community and meet tons of new people. And I felt like, I hope it was a blessing to the community, but I could definitely say it was a blessing to our church family.
Yeah, it's in all the stuff we've done. I mean, those events, like you said, boom, 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 month after month, kind of getting through that toughest part of it is what it sort of felt like.
Right.
I'll always look back on that extremely fondly, even though it was a very hard time. It's kind of humbling to look back and know what we were able to pull off and how much of a difference it made. Like, did it change the direction of COVID in America? No, but it provided something to families that really mattered at the time. And I know that because I got the little kids who got that experience that they wouldn't have without Core Creek. So very appreciative of all of it. John, where can people, first of all, I want to let you have a podcast. I'm like just learning this. You have a very successful podcast, right?
I do. I host several. I actually host four podcasts, believe it or not. I know that's
so
that's
here
crazy,
I am.
Right?
Like, you're like, hey, rookie. Like,
not at all. No, your podcast is great. So people, if they want to find out more about the church, they could just go to corecreek.com and they could see what our worship services are like. They could see what we're all about. They could listen to audio and video and things like that. If people want to see any of my podcasts and it's all, you know, it's faith-based content that I'm producing to help people grow in their faith, they could go to my website, which is desirejesus.com. And then I also help people with podcast development, platform development, book writing, you know, anything along those lines, YouTube channels, things like that. And that they can find at platformlaunchers.com.
All right, awesome. We'll touch base and get all this stuff into the show notes.
Sounds great.
Can access it. Thanks so much for everything you did. It's been great. I know we haven't done anything in quite a while. But like I said, extremely fond memories. Very thankful that you were there, that you made the decisions you did for the community. I want to end by just calling out, you had mentioned the way you went about providing options. You mm-hmm. had a service for people who want everyone to wear masks. You had a service for people who want mask optional. Mm-hmm. I'm always going to wonder for the rest of my life, why is that not the way society responded to the whole thing? That just should have been it. It's so obvious and straightforward. So thanks for the common sense, the leadership and everything. Mm-hmm. It's been awesome.
Well, thank you as well. And I really appreciate you and your leadership in the community over the past couple of years. I really feel like Reopen Bucks gave people who wanted more options an opportunity to connect with one another and to just an opportunity to partner together to hopefully serve the community in a way that we all kind of sensed was being skipped. And it was really unique and really special. And I'm really grateful for you and your friendship and for everyone that we had the chance to meet through the group that you guys put together.
Yep. A lot of silver linings in the whole story. For sure. All right. Thanks so much, John.
Thank you.
We'll catch you later.